So we're holding at the top of Mem Amud Aleph, the first line, Alamar. Before we do that, we're going to have to re-summarize what we learned. We're going to be analyzing a Braisa, which we learned beginning from the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and going all the way through Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and re-summarize what it says in order to be able to keep track. We said that we started with, our Mishnah had told us that when it comes to Chatoris HaPnimius, the ones where the blood is sprinkled inside the Heichel, you need every single matana to be done, every single application of blood, every single sprinkling and whatever, otherwise the korban is possible. So we started
with one to four,
whatever. Unlike with the Chatos Katsona, where we said according to the Sila, which is Alocha, you only need one, here you need all the seven in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or eight in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the ones of Yom Kippur, and all the seven or eight in front of the Paroches, and the ones on the Mizbeach HaZahav, and so on. Again, in the case of the ones of Yom Kippur, you have there's eight from one korban inside the Kodesh HaKadosh, eight from the par inside the Kodesh HaKadosh, eight of the Soyer also inside the Kodesh HaKadosh, eight from the par in front of the Parochas in the Heichel, eight from the Soyer in front of the Parochas, that's 32 so far, then four on the four daubings on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and seven sprinklings on the top of it, of the combined blood of two of them together, total 43. We'll see later on in the Machlokas about that, but that's the halacha. The other three, Chatoris HaPnimius, the Par Helam Dover of the Kohen Gadol, the Par Helam Dover of the Sibra and the Siri Avodah Zarah, those you have seven sprinklings in front of the Parochos and four on the Mizbeach HaZahav.
Before I forget, I have a question about, not related to this, but about the placing of the mezuzah.
Ask that later, because right now we're dealing with that. Yeah. Okay. So now, we mentioned, so the Braisa said like this. Now, in Parashat Vayikra, it starts by talking about the power of the Kohen Gadol, if he makes a mistake in halacha. And it gives all the details of it. He sprinkles the blood seven times in front of the Parochas, and then he does four times on the corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, burns the fat on the Mizbeach, and everything else, where the rest of the korban is taken outside Yerushalayim and burned. Then the Pasuk starts talking about the power helm Dovah Shal Tzibur. And it starts saying that basically the same procedures take place. The Kohen takes the blood and sprinkles seven times in front of the Parochas, does four daubings on the corners of the Mizbeach, spills out the rest of the blood on the Yisod, takes the Chelev and burns it on the Mizbeach. Then the Pasuk says like this, he should do to the Par, to that bull, Kasha also the Par HaChatas, the same as was done to the Par of the Chatas, meaning of the Kohen Gadol, Kain Yasaloi, so he should do to it, the Chipper Aleim HaKohen, the Kohen should atone for them, and Nislach Lahem, and will be forgiven for them. Now, what is that Pasuk coming to teach us? That Pasuk can't be coming to teach us about all the details of what needs to be done with the blood, because we already had that in the previous Pasuk. In the previous Sukkim, it listed all the steps that you have to do. It can't be to tell us about the chelev. Now, on one level, it is. Rashi on the pasuk mentions. On one level, it's meant to teach us about the details of the chelev, because it'll spell it out over there. We'll learn on Mimalach. We'll learn tomorrow about Hashem about that. But for the moment, the Braisa is not taking that view. It's not talking about the chelev, because there's the chifer, and the chelev doesn't have to do with kapara. Only the blood has to do with kapara. Therefore, it must be teaching us something about the blood. So it's teaching us that every matzah, because by repeating it, now we have, it's repeated, and the usual rule is by kodshim, anything that's repeated means ma'aktiv, so it means that all the matzahs are ma'aktiv. Then we said, though, the Braisa said, fine, if it had not repeated, then we'd see none of them would be ma'aktiv. So we said, what about, though, that tells us only the seven sprinklings in front of the parochas, what about the four on the Mizbeach? And we'll see, the Gemara is going to ask soon why there should be a distinction, but nevertheless, so the reason is, because the Pasuk says, Kasha also the parachatas kain yasaloi. So we take out some words from the pasuk kain yasalapur, and that means the par yom kippurim, which means that the par yom kippurim, where you have four sprinklings on the corners of the mizbeach, is like the par helam davar shel tzibur mizbeach hazav, right? And we said also it says kasha also lapur means the par koyin mashiach, and the word hachatas includes also the siri avodah zarah. Then we said, how do we know it means only the Siri Avodah Zarah? Maybe it means the other Siri, and we dealt with that. Then we said, when it says the Chiper, means that even if you didn't
the
do the word Chatas, we said yesterday, the word Chatas includes the Sir of Avodah Zarah,
right.
And we thought to say, maybe it also includes the Sirim of Rosh Chodesh and the Rebellim, but we said no, because it says Lot, which is a mute. Then we said that the chiper means even if they didn't do smicha, which they're supposed to do on the power helm of Shal Tzibur, and v'nislach means even if they didn't do shirai. Okay, That was the Braisa in a nutshell. Now we're going to analyze it. Omar, we said in the Braisa, so based on if we only had the pasuk repeating the fact that you have to do the that you have to do exactly the same, we would only know as far as the seven sprinklings in front of the parochas. How do we know matan? How do we know the same thing applies to the matan arba, to the four matanis on the mizbeach avohav? And the Braisa had said in the matan sheva shema achvis v'chomokim, where we find which after all we find that matan sheva is ma'akiv in other places, as opposed to Matan Arba on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, on the face of it, we don't find as Ma'akiv. So, Hecha, where do we find? Where else do we find? That seven Hazois are Ma'akiv. I'm going to pop up a Paro B'negoi. Rapapa says, we find it by the Paradrum. After the Paradrum has shechted the Koyan who stands over there, he stands over there, he's standing over there on Harez Eitim, and he sprinkles seven times of the blood in the direction of the Hechol, in the direction of the Beit HaMikdash. So that every one of them is ma'akiv. If he doesn't do one of them, then the parah is possible. Same thing by the mitzvah. The Torah tells us that after the mitzvah's ashram is shechted, the kohen takes from the actually specifically it says by the loig shemen rather it says by the loig of oil that the mitzvah brings with his karbonis. The kohen dips his finger in the oil and does seven hazois again towards the hechol. And since it's in both cases, it actually says, by the Torah Adruma, it says chukah, those chukah sa Torah. We have a rule that whenever the Torah says the word chukah by something, it means it has to be exactly so. So therefore, every bit of the procedure is essential. By the Masorah, it doesn't say the word chukah, but it says the word Torah, those tia Torah sa Masorah. The word tia teaches us that it has to be that way. So therefore, we see by them that the seven hazois are ma'akiv. Exact. So therefore, you would think, says the Braisa, that therefore maybe the same thing applies to the power of Helam Gavra and the power of the Kohen Gadol, that maybe only the seven hazois in front of the parochas are ma'akiv.
It says,
Zosperah,
it doesn't say the power of Helam Gavra,
it says Zosperah. It says by the parah adrumah, Zos chukas ha-Torah. By the Mitzorah, it says, Zos tiyeh Torah for Mitzorah.
Tiyeh Torah.
So therefore, we would think that once we find by those two that seven hazois are ma'akiv, we would think, anywhere else, we have seven hazois, so it's ma'akiv. So also by the Parahelam Davashot Sibur, and also by the, we would think, okay, there's a logical reason to think maybe that when the Torah is saying that something is ma'akiv, by repeating it twice, it means only those. Maybe it doesn't mean the Matan Arba, which
then, why does it say just those Tie and those Chukas?
So we see by those
two.
Fine. We would think, therefore, so that's the point. We would think that once we know that by those two it's ma'akiv, any place else where we have seven hazois, we would think also, fine, if the Torah is repeating by the power of the Kohen Gadol and the power of Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, if the Torah is repeating Kein Yachaloi, you would think, okay, it means the seven hazois are the main thing, are the thing that are ma'akiv, not necessarily the four corners of the mizbech. Matan Arba Minayin, so we said in the Braisa, where do we know that also the Matan Arba, the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, is also ma'akiv, Talmud Lema Kein Yaseh, therefore the Pasuk says, so should he do. So the question is, if we're saying that it's required and it's ma'akiv because it's repeated, Maishna Matan Zayin Dechtiv Nechfilon, then what's the difference? You're saying the seven is repeated twice by the power of the Kohen Gadol and by the power of Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, Matan Dalad Namik Dechtiv Nechfilon, well then the four Matanis on the corners of the Mizbeach, it also says twice. Once by each one.
So
the fact that it's repeated enough should be enough to say that it's massive. Why would the Braisa think that there's a difference between the seven and the four?
Why does the Braisa think
that there's a difference between the seven and the four if the seven are repeated twice and the four are repeated twice? The Braisa thought to say that maybe only the seven are massive, the four are not, and therefore we needed another word in the pasuk, Kenyas, that we shouldn't need it. The answer is, I'm going to be a little bit of shit. You're right, but this Braisa is only needed according to Rav Shimon, namely the Tanya, as Rav Shimon says like this. This that we have, that it, so what does it say? Rav Shimon learned that, okay, the Pasuk says that you have to apply it to the four corners of the Mizbeach. It says that explicitly by each one of them. It says, what it says, it doesn't say explicitly all four. It says, by the power of the Kohen Gadol, it says the Kohen should place from the blood our karnos mizbach teres asanim on the corners of the mizbach teres asanim,
which is
the mizbach asanim, right? But it doesn't say specifically four corners, it's just the corners.
Right.
Then a few psukim later also, when it says talk about parallel and double shot, same thing. It says our karnos hamizbeach on the corners of the mizbeach. So Rav Shimon says, I don't see necessarily from the psukim that it has to be on all four corners. Rather we learn it like this. Titania, we learn it in a braisa. L'mayla omer keren kronos shtayim. through you by the power of the Kohen Gadol. It could have said that you placed the blood on the Keren, on the Mizbeach, instead it's a Kanois, which is plural, so therefore it means two, but not necessarily does it mean more than two. Lamasa who am a Keren Kanois, later on, by the one of the Sibur, it also says it could have said Keren, and instead it's a Kanois, therefore we have a total of Arba. Two plus two is four. Kanois and Kanois. And, by the way, Rashi points out that Rav Shimon is one of the ones who holds, as the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, he's one of the ones who holds Yesh in Mikra, that we go according to the way the word is read, not the way it's spelt in the Pasuk. Because the way it's spelt in the Pasuk, by one of them it says Kao Nois with a Vav, and the other is Kao Nois without a Vav. So if we were to do like that, then we wouldn't have a source to say for. But because he goes according to the reading, Yesh in Mikra, the meaning is Kao Nois in both places, therefore you have 2 plus 2 is 4.
Obviously,
not the Chachamim really, but it's Rabbi Yehuda is the one who disagrees with him, right? Rabbi Yehuda ima enes tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need that kind of limud to say that you have all four of them. Harayo ima ba'oyhom moed. After all, the pasuk says that by both of them that it takes place on the counter, on the horns of the mizbeach which is ba'oyhom moed, and the word ba'oyhom moed is extra. We know perfectly well where the mizbeach hazav is. It means I'll call her armor by oil mode. It means the Torah is telling us everything that's done in the oil mode has to be done.
And therefore that includes
obviously the Mizbeach Hazav, because that's in the oil mode. So therefore, so the point is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. The previous Braita, the Braita from Daf Lamed Tes, that said that you need an extra word in the Pasuk to teach us that the Matan Dalad, that the Matan is on the four corners, on the Akiv, you don't need that according to Rabbi Yehuda. But you do need it according to Rav Shimon, because if it weren't for Rav Shimon would say there's no repetition. The repetition is meant to teach us that you need all four corners. We're going to see soon what he does with Oyomayed. But that's not the point. The point is that he says, I don't have a repetition over there. I have the first time it says Kainos, that means two Kronos. The second time it also says Kronos, which means two. So it's not to repeat to say it's Ma'akim, it's just to tell us how many Kronos are supposed to be done. So according to him, to say that it's not active, you need the word Ken Yasama. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Ken Yasama, I love it. Like, fine, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word Ken Yasama? The answer is in Boila L'chidipanya. He needs it to teach us what it says in the following braisa. Tosfos actually points out an interesting thing. If we're saying that by each one of these two korbanos, the one of the Kohen Gadol and the one of the Sibur, you're saying you're taking the word kainos from each one according to Rav Shimon and combining them together and therefore saying you need four, then why don't we do the same thing for the ones in front of the Parashas? It's a seven by the one of the Kohen Gadol. It's a seven by the one of the Sibur. So say you need 14 as long as it's in front of the Parashas.
It says
that he should do it seven times. Sheva Pomen with Hashem, but the other one also says Sheva Pomen. Yeah, so why? So you should say 14.
Yeah.
Tosfos gives two answers. Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, we do find other korbanos. We have applications for four kronos of the mizbeach. We don't find anywhere else we have 14 hazot. So there's no reason for the Shimon to think that this case should be unique and you should need 14. Second of all, like the Gemara said before, we had previously on the Machas, for example, we try as much as possible to compare korbanos to each other. We're not going to make some new idea by a korban that we don't find by any other one unless the Torah tells us.
I understand, but either you start from the Torah or you start from existing practice.
But the fact is, existing practice is you only do seven. So obviously, Rav Shimon is going to have to say that the repetition of seven is to teach us that it's massive, as the Bride said before. The other answer, Tosfos says, is seven means seven. There's no adding to it. Kainos, it could mean two. It could also mean four. It could mean however many. Kainos is a plural. The minimum is two. The maximum is no maximum. But as opposed to seven, that can mean seven, so therefore there's no adding.
Seven once, seven twice.
No, but there's four. That's the point. So once it says seven, it means dark to seven, not 14. As opposed to Kainos, you could say it means two, and then another two means four. Fine. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda, my high Ken Yasa, my obelisk. What is Rabbi Yehuda doing with the word Ken Yasa? Which Rav Shimon had said means to teach us that the four matonis and the kaunis and the zeach are active, which Rabbi Yehuda says I don't need because I learned that from Ba'al Yehud. The answer is Mimbaila Lechidatanya. He uses the word Lekenyasa to teach us what it says in the following braisa. The fact is, we don't see by the power of Yom Kippur in Achrenos, the Torah tells us what he has to do with the blood of it in the Heichel, in the Kodesh Kodashim and in the Kodesh. It doesn't say anything about that he has to do smicha on it. It doesn't say anything about that he needs to pour the Shirayim onto the Yesod. Minayin. So where do we know that those things have to be done as well? That is why the Pasuk says, Ken Yasa. So spoke one to them. That's what he used. When Kane asked it for. Question is, what do you mean? The Power Yama Kapurim, blah, blah, blah. You're telling me we don't have any other place to learn that these things are true of the Power Yama Kapurim? Ha'amet la'Power Yama Kapurim. You said before in the Braisan Daflamites that the word, when it says, we said that the word la'Power means the power of Yama. So you already know that the pasuk of the power of Yom Kippur is included in that pasuk, and therefore it means that everything is included, including the smicha, including the shirayim. So you don't need the kenyasa. The answer is itzlich. We still need it according to Rabbi Yehuda. Sakdai the hamina, because otherwise you would think as follows: Hani mili avodid ma'achla kapar. Fine. What are we saying that we're comparing the power of Yom Kippur to the other parim, the other parim, the haparis of Pnimi, and we're comparing them as far as things that are essential to the kapara, and without them the kapara is invalid. Avla avodid le ma'achla kapara, but the smicha and the shiri adam, which are not ma'ach of the kapara, because as we said before, that even if the smicha wasn't done, the kapara still takes place, and even if the shiri adam weren't spilled on the side, the kapara still takes place. You would think maybe therefore you don't have to do them by the Yom Kippur Korban at all. Kamash Malan, therefore we need one pasuk to tell us that they're done in the first place, and another one pasuk to tell us that the power of Yom Kippur is like the other part as far as the avodas that are ma'akev, such as the matonis in the Hechel, the matonis in the Kodesh, and in front of the Kodeshes and on the Mizbeach HaZal, and another one to teach us that the smicha and the shiari adam should be done, but they're not ma'akev, just like they're not ma'akev by the original one.
Why would you think this should not be done when you said this?
Because that's what we're saying. You have one, if you didn't have the pasuk, if you didn't have the word v'osa la'par, if you didn't have the word v'osa la'par, then you would think it's not done to them at all. Because in Achremot, it doesn't say any of these things. It doesn't say that smichane. It doesn't say still the shiri adam on your side. So the word v'osa la'par teaches us that that's done in the first place. The word kenyasa teaches us that not only the word v'osa la'par teaches us that the things that are essential, such as the matanai, those are essential also by the power of Yom Kippurim, and if you don't do them, then the korban is false. The word kenyasa teaches us that the other things which are not ma'akir kapara, the smicha and the shiari adam, should also be done, but they're not ma'akir. So therefore you need both. One to teach us the things that are ma'akir, that the things that are ma'akir, you wouldn't know, because it doesn't say smicha and shiari adam in Akram, right? Yeah. Okay. Reb Shimon hai ba'oil moed, my Ovid. Fine. What about Reb Shimon? What is he doing with the word ba'oil moed, which Reb Yehuda used to darish in that since everything is done in oil moed, then it's ma'akiv? The answer is, ba'oil moed mi ba'oil, he uses the word ba'oil moed for the following teaching. Shem nifchat ha'tikra shal heichol lo ha'yamale. If the roof of the heichol fell in, and therefore you don't have a roof over the heichol anymore, then it's not oil moed anymore, it's not a tent. It's not literally a tent, it's more of a building, but it's not considered oil moyed anymore, and therefore you can't sprinkle the blood. Some of the mafarshim explain. The halacha is likened that, because nobody disagrees with it on it. So the answer is the idach, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that from, which he also agrees with that in. The answer is me'asher, he learns it from the word asher. Because the pasuk says that he says that since the pasuk says that you have to do it on the mizbeach hazahav asher ba'oyel moed, so he learns from the word asher this extra that the oyel moed has to be intact. The idach and Reb Shimon would answer asher lojodah. She doesn't darish in anything extra from the word asher. The word asher is a part of the normal phrasing of the pasuk lashon ne'adam sort of, and therefore he doesn't darish in anything extra.
It's more logical to say oyel moed be'omai.
No, so in other words, everybody agrees that oil moed has to be involved. Right. So the question is where the source of it, right?
The source is not logical.
Yeah. But you could also, instead, you can learn it from asher oil moed, whatever. The halacha is a halacha. Now you have some of the mafarshim will explain that this is a halacha, generally speaking, with any karbanos, that they can't be sprinkled, that the blood of them can't be sprinkled if the roof of the heichel fell in. The Rambam seems to not hold that way because the Rambam mentions this concept only in Hilchos Yom Kippurim. He doesn't mention it in general in Hilchos Ha'aseh HaKorbanos or Sulam of Goshen or whatever. The fact that he only mentions it in the Halachos of Yom Kippur means that he apparently learned that this din only applies to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to any other Korbanos.
So what's the Halachos?
According to the Rambam, that would be the Halachos. Hilchos Elul Mashiach, although, I mean, it's when Mashiach comes, the halacha will actually have to be decided at the time. But right now, as far as we know, the halacha apparently. Now, according to the other opinions, there is the interesting point brought up. What about what happened to, we know, the concept makriven apafi shein bayis? We've learned before that technically you're allowed to bring karbanos even if the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed.
Right.
If you're telling me over here that the roof fell in, you can't. How does that work, according to the opinions that are applied across the board to all the karbanos? The answer is, I heard him talk about, there's a difference between if the building isn't there at all, where then, yes, you're allowed to be makriven karbanos, versus it's there, but it can't be called the oil moed because the roof fell in, then not.
Now, when you say the roof fell in, it's not just
exactly
caved.
What it sounds like. It means it caved in, yeah.
It's
so now
caved
you're
in,
caved
in. It's all in.
Whatever. Room. The point is that the roof is not intact anymore. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. So the bottom line is thus far. So we've explained part of our brisa before. That we said the Braisa started with the assumption that maybe only the seven Matanis are Ma'akiv, but not the four. And we said that no, the, all of them are Ma'akiv as well. The Braisa brought a posset for it. According to Rabbi Huda, you don't need that because you have the wood Ba'al Moed. Rabbi Shimon learns it from Kenya. Okay.
And therefore, that's the
key. Right. Okay. Abaya says no, even according to Rabbi Huda, you need the word Kenyasa to say that the four Matanis are Ma'akiv, because otherwise you wouldn't have known it. Why? I, Rabbi Huda, said, Ba'oyo Moed, and you're learning everything from Ba'oyo Moed, because Rabbi Huda might say, Safra Adachamini, you might think to say, according to Rabbi Huda, Midi Dehavi Asmicher Shiori Adam. After all, maybe the four Matanis on the four corners of the Mizbeah Hazal are like the Smicha and the Shiori Adam of the Parhel of Dabash of Sibir itself. Where there, even though it's said in the Torah and it's repeated, nevertheless, they're not ma'akiv. And the reason they're not ma'akiv is because we said before, we learned in the Braisa from the Chippur, even if you didn't do Smicha, and the Nislach, even though you didn't do Shirayim. So you would think, in that case, maybe the four Matanis are the same thing. Even though, so not every time the Torah repeats something does it mean that it's ma'akiv. Here you have examples where it's not ma'akiv, because the Torah told us the Chippur and the Nislach. So you would think maybe the same thing applies to the four Matanis. Matan Abinami, like this active. So you would think, even according to Rabbi Huda, maybe the four Matanis shouldn't be ma'akiv either. Kamash Malon, that is why we had to have the word Ken Yasa to include them back in and say that they are ma'akiv. So the four are ma'akiv.
On the lower part.
Right. What lower part? On the Mizbeah Hazal.
On the
Mizbeah Hazal. And the reason is, the logical reason why it should be different, Rashi says it like this. Smicha and Shirayim, the fact is, even if you didn't do them at all, they're not ma'akiv. As opposed to Matan Arba, fine. Even when it comes to a Chatas Pitzoyna, as we dealt with earlier in the Perek, even a Chatas Pitzoyna, you have to do at least one of the applications of blood on the corners, otherwise the carbon's no good. So when it comes over here, you know you need to at least do one, and then once you have the Chen Yasa, it teaches us that you need to do the other three as well. As opposed to Smicha and Shirayim are never ma'akiv.
How many do you have in Mishnah?
Four. Well, so you have four on the four corners. In the case of Yom Kippur, you also have seven on the top.
Four
on the four corners. The Kohen takes, dips his finger in, and daubs it on each of the four corners. And there.
16.
What's 16?
Four on each corner or four?
One on each corner. Total of four.
One on each corner.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Next, let's continue analyzing the Braisa. The Braisa had said, Lachor is a power Yom Kippurim. The Pasuk had said that when it says you should do to the power, as he did to the previous parah. We said the power in that pasuk refers to the power of Yom Kippurim. So the question is, my hilchos, as far as what halacha do we need to know are we saying that the power of Yom Kippur is being compared to the other parah? What are we saying that we wouldn't know is ma'akiv if we didn't have that hefesh? Elaktiv, if you're telling me that all of the matones have to be done with the power of Yom Kippur, and if not, then the carbon is possible. Pshita, well, you know, of course it's obvious because chukah k'tivabay, because we said at the top of the Amud, in connection with the paradroma, that whenever the Torah says about a certain type of carbon chukah, then it means it has to be done exactly so and no other. By Yom Kippur, it says at the end of it, v'hoysalakam l'chukah sa'olam. So already from that, we know that every detail of it has to be done as it was said, and if not, then it's no good. So why do you need to be makish it? Why do you need to compare it through the power helam davar shel tibur to say, from which we said already that everything is ma'akiv, to say that everything by the power of yom kippur is ma'akiv too.
You should be able to derive it
directly from the word chukah. Yeah. The answer is Omer of Nachman Yitzchak. Yes, but this braisa, this part of the braisa, is needed only according to Rabbi Yehuda. To Omer, namely that. Well, in other words, we're saying that the reason why we need this drasha that we're saying lachor, that we need the braisa telling us that this drasha lachor is according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to other opinions, we might not need it. We might need it. We might use it for some other drasha. But that's what I mean. According to by the way, I mean, Tosfos points out before at the top of the Amud, Rabbi Yumi had said that the Braita goes according to Rabbi Shimon. Then Abaya had continued in saying that no, okay, the Braita goes according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak is following that line of thought. Otherwise, we'd have to say that part of the Braita goes like Rabbi Shimon and part like Rabbi Yehuda, and we'd rather not do it. Okay. The entire Braita is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. To Omar. Now Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Kik Siva Chukah, when the Torah says about Yom Kippur, when it says the word Chukah, Bahoisa Lacham Chukas Olam, what is it referring to? It's referring Advarim HaNasim Avigdei Lavan B'Snim. He says it only refers to the parts of the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol does while he's wearing the white clothes, but only the ones that he does B'Snim, only the ones that he does in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Namely, in other words, we know on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wears changing his clothes five times. Two sections of the Avodah that he does in his four clothes. One is, so what is it? In the first set of white clothes, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh and offers Ketores. He brings in the blood of the power and does the eight sprinklings with it. He brings in the blood of the stone and does the eight sprinklings with it. Then he goes out of the Kodesh HaKadosh. The rest of the avoda that he does in that set of white clothes is outside the Kodesh HaKadosh. He does the 8 sprinklings of each one in front of the Parochas. He does the 11 applications to the Mizbeach HaZahav, and he goes and pours the rest of them, the Shirayim on the stone. So Rabbi Yehuda said, later on in the day, he puts on another set of white clothes and goes in to take out the cup and master, the spoonful of Kodesh and the panful of coal that he brought in there earlier. Rabbi Yehuda said, this that the Torah says chukah, meaning that everything has to be done and exactly in the right order, only applies to the things that are done the Vigdei Lovan B'Snim, only the things that he does in his white clothing inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. Where then the rule is, Shein Hikdim Maisa L'Chaveri La'Asa V'Likol. Then the rule is, if he does anything out of order, then it doesn't count and he has to redo it. Only what he does inside the Kodesh HaKadosh wearing his Vigdei Lovan. But Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding the things that he does in the Big Day Lavan outside the Kodesh HaKadosh, for example, the 8 sprinklings of each one in front of the Parochas and the 11 sprinklings on the Mizbeach HaZahav, those, he says, Masha also, Hik the Maisa L'Chaveri, Masha also Asu. There he says, if he did things out of order, it works. It doesn't matter. So therefore, Eimah Midikasidra Lema Akhi, Azoris Namla Akhi. Fine. So you would think if doing them in the proper order is Nama Akhi, maybe even the Hazois themselves are Nama Akhi. If he missed one of them, maybe it is valid. Kamash Mullah. And that is why the Braisa needed to tell us there's a Hekish between the power of Yom Kippur and the power of the power of Helam Davar Shel Tibur to say that everything has to be done just so. All the Matonis are Nama Akhi.
You learned it from the Hekish?
So that's the thing. He has to learn it from the Hekish, because otherwise he would say between the power of Helam Davar Shel Tibur and the power of Yom Kippur. That's why he says when it says the Asa Lachor means the power of Yom Kippur.
That's
the Hekish. That has to be like the power of Helam Davar Shel Tibur and like the power of Kohen Gadol. That all of them, all the Matanis are Ma'akir. Because otherwise he would say that maybe the Matanis outside the Kodesh HaKadosh are not Ma'akir. Okay. Mas before the Papa, however, the Papa asks. He's asking on Rav Nachman Yitzchak. You're telling me that according to Rav Yehuda, you wouldn't know that the Hazois in the Heichel are ma'akev, and therefore you need the Hekish to tell us that. So Rav Papa says, are you possibly able to say that Rav Yehuda is learning the fact that all of them are ma'akev from the word over here of Asalakar? But we learn in a Braisa differently. The Pasuk says, in connection with Yom Kippur, V'chila mikaper et ha-kodesh. The pasuk says he completes doing the kapara in the kodesh, and then he goes and he goes and does smicha on the third lazal. No one sends it off. Now the words v'chila mikaper et ha-kodesh is extra because obviously everything in there is listed in order. So obviously after he finishes the kapara in the kodesh is when he walks over to the sar v'chai and does smicha on it and so forth. What's the words v'chila mikaper et ha-kodesh? It means like this. In Kippur, Kila, if he accomplished the Kapara, meaning if he did all the Hazoids, as he's supposed to, Kila, then he's finished with that part of the Avodah. Even if he didn't do the Shirayim, then it's still the Kapara has been accomplished, and it doesn't matter. The Imloy Kippur, like Kila, but if he didn't do all the Kaparas, if he missed any of these sprinklings, like Kila, then he hasn't finished, and he has to redo it. Give it a Kila. Even like Kippur, like Kila. If he didn't do all the Kapara, if he missed any of the Hazoids, he has to get it. If he did 43 Hazoids, if he missed one of them, then like Kila, then he hasn't finished, then he has to go back and finish it. Give it a Kila. That's what Rabbi Kila says. Omalai Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says to him, why? Mipnei malai noimai. If we're saying that you're darshaning from the word Bechila mikaper, and you're saying, but what are you doing? You're flipping around the word Kaper and Kila. You're saying in Kippur, Kila, but in like Kippur, like Kila. Why not learn it the other way around? Mipnei malai noimai. In Kila Kippur. If he finished everything, meaning even the Shirayim, only then Kippur, only then has he accomplished Kapara, the Imlai Kilo Lai Kippur, and if he didn't finish everything, including the Shirayim, then he wasn't Mechaper. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that it's Ma'akiv, we're learning from this Pasuk Mechila Mekaper at HaKodesh. So what are you telling me that our Braisa before from Daf Lamed Tes is learning it from Va'asa Lapar, according to Rabbi Yehuda? That doesn't work.
Rabbi Yehuda
is not reversing. Rabbi Yehuda is doing it in order. Bechila and Mikaper. Bechila, if he finishes, then Mikaper is accomplished. Then he's accomplished Kapara. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva is flipping around the words. That's where Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. But the point is that we see that Rabbi Yehuda is learning from that pasuk in Achrimos, not from the Asa Lakor in Parashat Vayikra. So what are you telling me? The Braisa before is according to Rabbi Yehuda. There was a different girsa on the side of it here. It brings on Yaakov Shimoni. Before we get to the answer, of course we're going to get to an answer, but wait. Before we get to that, I should mention on the side of it here, it brings a girsa from Yaakov Shimoni that the first opinion is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the second one is not Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Nechemiah. So in that case, it would come out that still, the point is that Rabbi Yehuda would be learning from Im Kippur Kila, that only if you accomplished all the Matanis, only then are you finished. But if not, then not. So fine, he would hold that the Shirayim aren't active, but the point is, he would still be learning from that Pasuk that all the Matanis are active, where again, our Braisa was saying, before the Braisa from that one test, before we're saying we learn from the Asa Lapar. So whichever Girsa you have, the point is, it doesn't work. Now, Amar Papa, so the Papa says, fine, you're right. The basic idea that all the Matanis are active by the power of Yom Kippur, that Rabbi Yehuda learns from the Pasuk Bechila Mekaper in Parashat Achrimos, right? What is he using the Hekesh for? Also, Lapar for, L'nitzruchayelala es gam uvetvila. He needs it in order to teach us the dinim that are represented by the words es, the word gam, and the word tvila.
Name
your Papa is saying like this. When was Rapapa saying it? Rapapa was asking, and now Rapapa has an answer. That we have by the power Helam Gavash of Sipur and by the power Kohen Gadol, it says the Tobal Hakoyen S F Ba'i Badam, and we learn something from the word Batobal, which we're gonna see in a second. We learn something from the word S, we learn something from the word Badam. So Rapapa is saying the purpose of the Hekesh, you're right, you don't need the Hekesh according to Yehuda to tell us the basic idea that the Matanis are active. We know that from elsewhere. We need it to teach us that the same three dinim that we learned from Batobal, from Es, and from Hadam, that apply by the power of Helam, by the power of Kohen Gadol, also apply by the power of Yom Kippur. And what are those dinim? Es. What do we learn from the word S? What do we learn from the word S? Amar Abbas by Yaakov. The reason why we have the word S, it says S F Boy Badom, what is the S adding? And in fact, later on when it talks about the power of the Sivir, it just says S Boy, it doesn't say the word S. So what is the word S adding? It comes to include the Amin or Imin actually, Shitamukabetis puts the Nakurdis over here, which is unusual, Omin Shabesta. The Omin that are on the finger. So what are Amin? So Rashi explains as follows. First of all, okay, the bottom line is like this. by Yom Kippur, by the Yom Kippur korban, by the power of Yom Kippur, it doesn't say the word es, doesn't say the word tevila, it doesn't say that he has to dip his finger in, doesn't say vadom, it says v'lokach midam ha'tor. So therefore, so we need the hekesh in order to teach us that the same dinim that applies to dipping his finger in and doing the hazois by the power of the Torah and Mashiach also apply by the power of Yom Kippur. Because otherwise, without the hekesh, we wouldn't know that. So we're going to learn from the power of Helam Gavashal Tibur, from the power of Torah and Mashiach, we're going to learn to the power of Yom Kippur. So what are we learning as follows? So S, we learn that it's also that the omin, as Shitim Kobratis puts the Sanakoda, on the finger are kosher for sprinkling. What are omin? So Rashi explains like this. The word om or aim means the original meaning of it is a womb. Therefore, by extension, it can mean any kind of aim in the womb, like nifla ha'aim, the womb of an animal was removed, which we'll learn about in Kobe. So therefore, by extension, it can mean any kind of pouch shape like thing. Over here,
you mean not
right. Well, womb, uterus, two words for the same thing. Yeah, it is. Yeah, womb is just the common. The womb is the common name
for it. Uterus.
Nah.
No.
They're synonymous.
So
okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The point is, by extension, therefore, it means any kind of pouch-shaped thing like that. Therefore, over here, what it means is, it means like a wart or a blister on his finger. Even if the Kohen has a blister or a wart on his finger, he can still do the hazah. The fact that the blood is on the wart and gets sprinkled from there doesn't matter. It doesn't pop or anything.
A blister is a wart.
Doesn't matter, actually. It means the same thing. It means something. It means something that sticks out of his finger. So the S. So it's not considered a mum, so I was wondering about that also. It's not considered a chatzitza because it's part of his finger. As far as it not being a mum, that we're going to learn when we learn about mumim and bechoros next year, Be'ez Hashem, the kind of wart that topples a kohen is the kind where it's actually not so much a wart, but a growth that has a bone. That would topple him as a mum. Just a wart, like the kind that sometimes people get on their fingers, does not. But that, or a blister, or whatever, he could be doing the hazah without it being a problem. We learn that from the word et. Because S, as usual, means S atopol. It means something secondary. So something secondary to his finger, namely blister on it. So that we learn from the word S.
A wound in the finger.
Well, not talking about a wound per se. We're talking about a blister or something. Something that sticks out of the finger.
Would that be a wound?
I don't know if it would be a blister. It wouldn't be respectful to be doing the avodah with it uncovered. But yeah. All right. Okay. So that's what we learn from the word S. Badom, what do we learn from the word badom in connection with the power of Mashiach? Sheyehe badam shiur tevila meikra, that the container that has the blood in it has to have enough blood in it to begin with for the hazah, that you can't have, in other words, that when you first do the Kabbalah, there can't be that you will makabel so little blood that you're not able to dip your finger into it. At Tosfos actually discusses that it may mean, actually, that, for example, here, where you have to be doing seven hazahs, means there has to be enough blood in there to be able to do all seven. Not necessarily. It could mean conceivably that you have enough for one, and then you bring in another container and do another one, and so. But, okay. And what does it mean, v'tovol? What do we learn from the word v'tovol? V'loy mistakir. It means that he can't be wiping off the blood from the keli with his finger. It has to be that he dips his finger into it. And the Gemara points out, v'itzruch l'michta badam. Now you could ask, why does it need to say both those things? If you have shiur tevila, then the pastor is going to be dipping his finger into it. So why does he need to repeat it? V'itzruch l'michta badam. Now you do still have to say the word badam to say that there's a minimum amount of blood there. Because if the Torah only told us the word v'tovol, havamina, then you would think like this, afagav d'leka shiur tevila me'ikra, fine, it would be good enough, even if there wasn't enough in there to begin with when you did the Kabbalah, to be able to dip your finger in, as long as now there was enough, so afterwards it was poured in from another container, maybe that should be good enough. Therefore the pasuk says badam, that to begin with, you have to have enough in the container for him to be able to dip his finger in. At the time of the Kabbalah.
You can say v'tovol, it has to be a tevila.
That's the point. In other words, but v'tovol means that maybe, in other words, maybe what you could do is you could be makabel a drop of blood. There's not enough for tevila. That you could be makabel a drop of blood. Later on, before he comes to do the tevila, you'll pour more blood in. No, so the word v'tovol means to begin with. At the time of the Kabbalah, there has to be enough blood in there for tevila.
and badam.
Therefore, that's why it says kosher rahman and badam. In order to teach us that, the Torah told us the word badam. Let's begin with the blood in the container has to be enough. On the other hand, the kosher rahman and badam, but if it only said the word badam, so fine, we understand there has to be enough blood in there for tefillah, but still, have aminah, fill the mustafir. You would think, fine, but maybe as long as there's enough in there for tefillah, then it doesn't matter whether he actually dips his finger in. It could be, maybe he could still wipe it off of his finger, off the side of the container. And therefore, kosher rahman and badam, that is why it says badam. So the point is, we learn that, again, those three dinim, the Torah only tells us them by the power of Mashiach. We have to learn that those apply the power of the Kohen Gadol when he makes a mistake in halacha.
Right.
How do we know that they also apply to the one, to the power of Yom Kippur? That is why we needed the hekesh, even according to Rabbi Huda, to make a hekesh between the power of the Kohen Gadol and the power of Yom Kippur. Because otherwise we wouldn't know those.
Power of Yom Kippur is for what?
It's called the power of Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur.
Okay, it's
called the power of Yom Kippur, yeah.
And the other one's called power of Kohen Gadol.
The other one's called power of Kohen Gadol, yeah. Okay, Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion that you may have an issue over here, which we're going to deal with in the next parak, that if you learn one thing from another with a hekesh, you can't necessarily go and learn something else from that with a hekesh. So Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion over here exactly which one we're learning from which one.
Only one-sided.
Not really only one-sided, but you can't say it's not transferable. Once you learn item B from item A, you can't then go and learn from a hekesh item C from item B.
And what
is the other thing? So here you have, there's three different things. There's the power of the Kohen Mashiach, there's the power of Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur, and there's the power of Yom Kippur. So if you're telling me that we have a pasuk in connection with the power of Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur, that's comparing it to the power of Kohen Mashiach, and also to the power of Yom Kippur, and also to the power of Yom Kippurim, then you have a double hekesh over there. No, because A to B, that you're comparing the power of Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur to the power of Kohen Mashiach, and then you're comparing the power, and then you're comparing the power of Yom Kippur to the power of Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur. But Tosfos gets into a long discussion exactly what we're comparing to what over here. That's the question. That's what gets Tosfos into a long discussion. Are we actually comparing the one of Yom Kippur to the one of the power of Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur, or are we, like you said, we're comparing A to B and A to C, which is fine.
Which is fine.
Now that's the substance of what Tosfos deals with over here. Okay. Fine. Continuing with, since we're darshaning the pasuk, let's finish off learning how Rabbi Yehuda is going to darshan the rest of the pasuk. We said that Asher Ba'oil Moed before we said teaches us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that everything that's done in the oil moed has to be done just so, and if you miss even one of them, then the korban is possible. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does it have to continue describing the Mizbeach HaZahav and say that the expression is in the pasuk that you put the blood on the Mizbeach Keturas HaSamim Asher Lifnei Hashem Asher Ba'oil Moed? Why does it need to give us all that detail? We know that the Mizbeach in the oil moed is the one that's used for Keturas HaSamim. We know it's Lifnei Hashem. So what are we learning from all that? Mizbach Torah Samim Lomali. Why does the Torah have to specify that it's the Mizbeach of the Torah Samim, which we already know? The reason is, She'im lo nisqanach ha-Mizbeach, the Torah Samim lo he'imad. We learn from that, again, that if the Mizbeach had not yet been inaugurated using by burning Torah on it, then you can't sprinkle the blood. Meaning, in other words, like this, normally the Mizbeach HaZahav is used every day for bringing the Torah. Once a year on Yom Kippur, you also have these applying blood to it. And also on the rare occasion when you have a power code Mashiach or a power Helam Dovah Shal Tzibur. But let's say, for example, the old Mizbeach broke down or whatever, or for whatever reason they had to replace it. Let's say they hadn't had a chance to bring Keturah on it yet, and then there comes one of these Korbanos. You can't do them, because you first have to be able to bring the daily Keturah on it. Only then is it considered the Mizbeach. That's why the pasuk says Mizbeach Keturah HaSamim, to teach us that concept. Again, here you also have the machlokes, whether this applies across the board to all these korbanos that are sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaZahav, or does it apply specifically to the korban of Yom Kippur. Again, the Rambam mentions this concept only specifically in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, which implies that he holds it applies only to the power of Yom Kippur. Okay. Fine. What about Keturah Samim? Fine. So that's that. That's why it says Mizbach Keturah Samim. Okay. Fine. Now, Rav Papa had said before that, so Rav Papa had answered before that regarding, we were asking over here what we need the Hekesh and the Braisa for, if we already have, if Rav Yehuda already knows that the Matanes, when it comes to the power of Yom Kippur, are Ma'akev, because it says Chukah. Because it says the Chila Mitapir is a Kodesh, and we learn that you have to have the Chila, that you have to complete everything in order to have Kapara. So Tanya Kama says that we learn a Braisa like what Rav Papa says, that the purpose of the Hekesh was to teach us this Es Dan and Tvila thing, the three dinim that it says about the power of Kareem Mashiach, which we're going to learn from them for the power of Yom Kippur. We learn a Braisa like what Rav Papa says. But also Kasha, also Matam of Lema. Again, why does
the source to...
Well, it's not the source. Rav Papa came up with it independently, but now we're going to see that's supported by a Braisa. Again, the Braita starts by asking, but also Kasha, also Matam of Lema. The Pasuk says, again, you have this Pasuk, but also La Paro Kasha, also La Paro Chathas came Yafaloi. He should do to the power as was done to the Paro Chathas, so should be done with it. So what does that Pasuk come to suggest? Matam of Lema. La Paro, Lerabis Pariyam Akurim. Again, when it says that he should do to the power, that means the power Yemek and Purim. So Rebbe says, Rav Akiva says on the side here, says that it means to include that the power Yom Kippurim has to have done to it everything that it says over here, all the details that we said over here, that you have to have all the matanos. And in particular, also, what we mean is not to learn the matanos, because those we knew already, but the fact that the rules of F and that the rules of F and Badom and the Tobal apply to one also apply to this. This is where we learn it from. So we see this right is supporting what Rav Papa says, that since it says since it only says them explicitly by the power of Kareem Mashiach, therefore we need this Va'asa Lapor to tell us that they also apply to the power of him.
You could not infer it from any other...
You wouldn't have had any way to know. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Kavachoyer. So Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't need to learn from the Pariyam. I don't need to learn the Pariyam of Kippurim using the Hekesh. I can use a Kavachoyer to learn that. Uma b'makam shalai hushva korban l'korban. Madach, in a place where we don't compare, where the korbanos themselves are not similar, namely they're different animals. We'll see soon. The Gemara is going to ask which two different korbanos Rabbi Shmuel is talking about. But you have a dissimilarity in the two animals that are used for korbanos. Yet hushva maisim l'maisim. Yet the Torah makes all the maisim the same. The Torah makes that the same procedures are done with one as the other, even though they're different animals. Right? Makam shehishva korban l'korban. Well, in a place where we have the same two type of animals that are used for korbanos, namely the par of Yom Kippur and the par halam davar shel tzibur, which are both a par. How much more so that all the maisim should be the same? So I don't need a hekesh to teach us that. The very fact that we have that they're the same kind of animal should teach us that.
So what says
Rabbi Shmuel? What am I doing with the word lakpar? Which you're telling me, you Rebbe or Rebbe Akiva are telling me is used to teach us about the power of Yom Kippur. No, that power Helam Dabash.
Helam Dabash is power of Yom Kippur.
Yeah, right. Alamasam Alam Lapur, the power Helam Dabash of Kippur. Lepar, the power of Kareem Mashiach. He says the two words, power, in this pasuk, neither of them is talking about the one of Yom Kippur. The first one is talking about the power Helam Dabash of Kippur. The second one is talking about the power of Kareem Mashiach. That we need a hekesh between them. So we need a hekesh between them, but we don't need a hekesh for the one of Yom Kippur, because the one of Yom Kippur we know automatically using his kavachar.
And according to
Rebbe or according to Rebbe Akiva, we said that the first lapor is referring to the par Yom Kippurim. Kasha also the par achatos is referring to the par helam davar shel tzibur. Not really the inverse. I mean, Rebbe is saying that one of the Purim in this pasuk is talking about the one of Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Shmuel is saying that not. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that I can learn from a Kabbalah.
Right, but it's two parts.
Rebbe is saying that one is talking about the one of Yom Kippur, and the other one is talking about the one of the Sipur, or the one of the Kohen Gadol, or one or the other. And Rabbi Shmuel is saying neither one is talking about Yom Kippur. One is talking about the one of the Sipur, one is talking about the one of the Kohen Gadol. Okay. So now let's analyze that right. We started by saying, Rabbi Shmuel says, "Ma doch in a place where the two korbanos are not the same, where they're not the same." So we have to figure out what he means by that. Ma'ila hushva korban the korban. What do you mean that they're not the same? Ilay makari yemakaporim b'suri yemakaporim. Are you going to say that he means that we see that the Torah makes the avoda of the par and the suri of Yom Kippur the same, even though those are two different types of animals? And nevertheless, we say that you still do the same avoda to both of them. Because they're the same. They're both of them, the blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled 8 times in front of the Kaporis.
Right.
And then it's brought into the Heichel and sprinkled 8 times in front of the Parechis. And then they're mixed together and sprinkled and 4 times on the 4 corners of the Mizeach and of the Mizeach Hazav and 7 on the top of it. So they're the same. So maybe, is that what Rabbi Shmuel means? Madoch, in that case, we have a power versus a sorer, and yet they both have the same demon. How much more so the power of the Kohen Mashiach and the power of Yom Kippur? Which is right. And how much more so power and power, which are similar? Ikul Mifrach. But you could slug up that Kabbalah point. Because you could say, Malahanach Shekin Yechas Damon Lachnai Balachim. You could say, you know why the power and the sorer of Yom Kippur are made similar? Because after all, the blood of both of them is brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh. How are you trying to compare the power Helam Dover to the power Yom Kippurim, where the power Helam Dover's blood is never brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh?
It always stays in the Kodesh.
Are you going to say that Rabbi Shmuel is trying to say that you have a similarity between the Parahelam Davar Shal Tzibur and the Seiri Averis Kachavim, where both of them the blood is brought only into the Heichel and sprinkled 7 times in front of the Parochas and 4 times on the Mizbeach Hazav, and you're going to say there again, Madach in that case, even though they're different animals, they're treated the same as far as their Averis, how much more so the power of the Helam Davar and the power of Yom Kippur should be treated the same? And you don't need a heckish thing.
Because
the power and the sorrow, the power of the Helam Dover and the sorrow of the Zara of the Helam Dover are treated the same. Again, Ikul Mifrach, again, you could slug that up. Because the difference is, Malahan, Shekem Machapur, Alavedus, Mitzvah Yidur. The difference is, the power Helam Dover Shal Tzibur and the sorrow of the Zara are both brought to a known Aveda where they know exactly what they did wrong. They know eventually they figured out that they passed him wrongly about Chelev. They know eventually that they passed him wrongly about Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the power of Yom Kippur, as we learned in Shavuot, that deals with a case where you had your Diyah B'Tchila, but not your Diyah B'Tzayt. We said over there, we have too much Mitzvah for Kotchev, and we had the various cases over there when you had Yediyah B'Tchila and not the Soif, or the Soif but not the Tchila. One of them is dealt with by the Korbanos of Yom Kippur.
And the other one?
We had over there the power of Yom Kippur, we have the Soif of Yom Kippur, we talked about over there that the power is Mechapa for the Koyanim and the Soif is Mechapa for the people. But the point is that the power of Yom Kippur is not Mechapa for an Avera, that somebody knows for a fact what he did wrong. Rashi mentions over here that it talks about over there that what is it machaper for? Where the person knew at the beginning that he was tameh, then he forgot and went into the smithish, and he never realized later on that when he went into the smithish, he was tameh. So there's no idea of a soif, unlike with the par helam dover and the soif of Avodah Zarah, where they know at the end that they did something wrong. So they pass in a halacha, and then they find out they passed in the tameh. So Rabbi, how can Rabbi Shmuel make a kabbal tameh between them? Ella, par helam dover, soif shel yom kippur. No, you have to say the comparison, the contrast that Rabbi Shmuel is trying to make between korbanos that are different as far as species is the par helam dover shel tzibur versus the soif of yom kippur. The halachic comma. So what he's saying like this: Uma b'makom shaloi hush for korban l'korban. Madach in a case where the two korbanos are different in the sense, the high par of a high soif, one is a par, the one of the tzibur, and one is a soif of yom kippur. Hush for ma'isim l'ma'isim. Nevertheless, the Maisim are still compared to each other, Lamai de Kosovo, insofar as what's written by them, that similar Maisim are done by them, the blood of them is both sprinkled in the Heichel, okay, sorry, is also in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but insofar as the things that are similar between them, the Torah made them similar, they both have sprinklings in front of the Parashas, they both have sprinklings on the four corners in the Zeach, and both of them, every sprinkling is Ma'akid, as we said before, Mokum Shahushva Kogan Lakogan. Well then in that case, when it comes to the parahelam Dovashal Sibur versus the Paravim Kippur, where they're exactly the same, the high power, the high power, where they're both Morim, Ainadin, Shahushva Maisim, the Maisim. How much more so the Maisim should be the same to each other. That every Matana has to be done. And Matana Achas Mem Ya'akovet, that if you left off one. So it's true, okay, there are dissimilarities between them because the one Yom Kippur have more sprinkling. But nevertheless, insofar as the similarities between them, we should say that we can use the Kavah Chomer to say that they apply to the part of Yom Kippur. We don't need the Hefesh, therefore.
Hushvim,
Maisim, Lysim means the Maisim should be exactly the same as one with the other. Not totally, because again, you have the one of Yom Kippur where you sprinkle in front of the Kaporis, and the one of Parhelim Dalashal Sibli, you don't. But nevertheless, that's still whatever is the one of the Parhelim Dalashal Sibli only in front of the Parishas and on the Mizbeach Hazara. And not the other one of Yom Kippur you also do in the Kodesh HaKadosh.
You have three sprinklings.
Yes. Yeah.
In the Kodesh Kadashim, the Parashat,
and the Mizbeach Hazara. Right. So therefore, also, it would mean, therefore, again, that the dinim before that we learned from S and from Badam and from Tevila would apply to each other also. So again, you don't need, so again, Rabbi Shmuel would say, I don't need the Hefesh to teach us that. I can learn it from my Kavah Chomer. But also, like, Pau Yenach HaPorim Nami La'es Badam V'Tevila M'Pau Karin Mashiach. So therefore, he says, I can learn the dinim that we learned from S, Dam, and Tevila, that they apply to the part of Yom Kippur. I can learn them from the power of Mashiach using the Kavah Chomer that we said before. But also, and also, he says, I can learn that these dinim apply to the Sir Yom Kippur. I can use the same Kavah Chomer to say that they apply, that they, we learn them from the Sir Yom Kippur. Because again, you can say the same Kavah Chomer. If the Torah makes the power and the Sir similar, how much more so a Sir and a Sir should be similar? No, the par and sir are just similar as far as the type of carbon, but nevertheless, they're similar as far as the manner of the avodah, the maisim. How much more so a sir of a dezara, a sir of Yom Kippur, that they should also be similar. So again, you can use the same Kavah Chomer for that, and therefore, yes. Okay, so we'll stop over here, but now we're going to get a little bit into tomorrow, Beth Hashem, we'll get into the whole discussion that we're going to have much more of in the next parak about this whole issue of with kodshim. When do we say that if you've learned item B from item A, when are you able to then turn around and learn item C from item B? So we said before about two hekeshim. Now we're going to deal with also the question, what about a hekesh versus a kavah chomer? Can you use such a thing? So that will deal with
tomorrow. So to have things clear, the hekesh you cannot do from A to B and B to C.
Right.
And a kavah chomer.
Whether you can do once you learn something with a hekesh, can you learn it with a kavah chomer? That we're going to see that Rabbi Shmuel holds that you can.
And he's the only one?
According to this, yeah. We'll continue with that.